reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now pretend you're washing these two your thumb and your finger, and go like this. After dinner, in Jewish practice, if you didn't do that with water, you were ritually unclean. At the time of Christ, ritual washing was an obsession. It's not in the Bible that you had to do that, but somehow rituals that were meant only for the temple had weaved their way into the society of the Jews. You might remember at the wedding of Cana, the water used by Jesus to turn into wine was in 6 stone jars. Had to be stone because only stone could not become ritually unclean. 6 jars, each containing about 75 gallons of water, just for ritual washing. The pools of Bethesda and Siloam, which you hear about Jesus visiting in the when he would go near the temple, they were for ritual washing before you entered into the temple courts. Tonight, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. But the function is not to teach ritual. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord our God is one God in 3 persons. Blessed Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the Hebrew tradition, before the Passover ceremony, the children light the candles and pray, although our candles are already lit. This gesture symbolizes the coming of Messiah as the light of the world. We welcome Messiah's presence among us as the candles are lit. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You sanctify us by your word and allow us to kindle these lights. Bless our homes and our dear ones with the warmth and peace of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Why is this night different from all other nights? In antiquity, slaves ate hurriedly, standing or sitting on the ground, while royalty, nobility, and the wealthy dined on reclining couches. To indicate that they were now free, the Israelites also reclined while eating. Once we were slaves of Pharaoh and in Egypt, but the Lord our God delivered us with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
Once we were slaves of Satan and sin, but the Lord our God delivered us with his arms outstretched on the cross.
Had not the Holy One, and praised be he, brought our fathers out of Egypt, then we and our children and our children's children would still be enslaved. Our God and God of our ancestors, we thank you for the gathering us to celebrate Passover. We praise you for delivering us from the slavery of sin and bringing us into the liberation of the gospel, all through the sacrifice of Messiah. Praise are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You have given us life and sustained and brought us to this season. Amen. From Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If we were preparing for a Seder meal, at the very beginning of the meal, at least according to Jewish tradition, going back to the time of Christ, you would now wash your hands. It's not a biblical requirement, but at the time of Christ, when Jesus didn't do it, and or his disciples, the Pharisees always made note of that, and that is recorded in the Scriptures. So at this time, and I didn't think it was worth bringing water for every row, but let us wash our hands. We now rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put out his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean." This is our text. When I was serving another congregation in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, we had a Down's syndrome young man. Couldn't speak, but he had a limited vocabulary that he could understand. He always wore a very nice suit coming to church. And while he couldn't do much, he decided that he was the official door opener for the church. Every Sunday you would see him stationed at the door, opening the door as people approached. On a particularly cold day, helping the door get closed quickly. No one appointed him to that position, but nobody also ever fought him for that right. And as every new person walked in, there was just always a smile on his face. He was just happy to serve. If you will, he was being the image of God. That's what God created us for. To be like Him. You know, God didn't need us. And when you think about it, we're a real headache to him. And before the foundations of the world, when he made us, he knew what kind of problems he was going to have. And he went ahead and he did it anyway. Because it is in his nature to serve and to love. And we see that service and love portrayed in our Lord Jesus Christ in our gospel lesson for this evening. As the Passover meal is being celebrated. It's rather interesting when you do a little research into the whole issue of ritual washing in the Jewish life at that time period. There were two basic types of ritual washing. The washing of the hands, which could be done in different ways. And as I mentioned earlier, you could even take just a few drops of water, rub it between these fingers, and at least after the meal was served and eaten, that constituted a ritual washing. But if you didn't do it, you were really in big trouble. Probably at least on this night of Passover, although Jesus and his own disciples occasionally didn't follow the traditions. I wouldn't be surprised, at least on this night, if they didn't go through the ritual and required hand washing that most of Judaism would have partook in. But as the meal progressed, something happened. Jesus got up again for, if you will, an unrequired washing. That was the surprising thing when I read this. I mean, in the ancient world, what would be the dirtiest part of you on a daily basis walking in sandals in dirt? Feet. But ritual washing never really included that except for the priests in the temple. You'd be washing your hands all day and your feet would still be dirty. It was considered nice if somebody washed your feet. And in formal settings, there would be a servant or the youngest person in the group who would be required to do that duty for honored guests. But as the Lord Jesus gathered together with his apostles, and even though this was a special night, nobody thought it quite necessary to wash the feet. It wasn't required. It wasn't ritual. But as the meal progresses, Jesus grabs that basin of water, taking the role of a servant, and goes around and washes each one of the apostles' feet in turn. He gets to Peter. And Peter thoroughly understands the indignity of this. If anybody should be washing feet, I kind of think Peter would have thought John should be doing it. He's the youngest. Notice, not even Peter volunteers. But to have Jesus washing his feet, his Lord, his Master, that's just not right. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." "No, Peter, just the feet. You're clean." But it's not because of a ritual washing that you might have done at the beginning of this meal. You're clean because of what I do for you. We are saved, but not by any rituals that we go through. We're saved because we have a God who is our Lord and our Master, but He is also our servant. And it's not just the feet of the apostles that our Lord Jesus has washed. On the day that you were baptized, you were washed as well. Your whole body probably wasn't submerged, unless you were maybe baptized someplace else. If you were baptized in your typical Lutheran church, it was just a little bit of water, but applied by our Lord Jesus, that's all that's necessary. Because it's not about what you do. It's about what he does for you in his cross and in his resurrection. And that's one of the reasons why our practice of baptism is different from a lot of other churches. We baptize babies, for instance. A lot of churches don't. Why is that? Well, if you think of baptism as something that you have to do, because, if you will, God ordered you to do it, or you think about baptism as you telling God that you are going to be committed to Him for the rest of your life, well, babies can't do that. In fact, babies can't do much. But scripturally, that's not what baptism is. Scripturally, baptism is God doing something to us. It saves not because we did it. It saves because it is one of the ways that God gives His gifts of forgiveness and life to people. And if God can give that to an adult, why can't He give it to a baby? And we don't use a lot of water typically in our baptisms. The Bible really never says how much water you have to have. You have to completely submerge. Well, if you're not quite sure and you want to make sure that you're doing baptism right, you might say to yourself, well, if I'm not sure and I want to make sure I do it right, I'm going to use as much water as possible. But if your question is, how much water does God need to declare me clean? Well, you can just go to John 13. You don't have to do the whole body or the head or the hands. Just a little bit. Because it's not what you do. It's what God does. God wants to be our servant. And that is the key to the life that He gives us. If your desire is to be in charge, make it to the top, to stay on top. Usually the expressions that people describe about that process is you have to fight to get there. and have to fight to stay there. But you don't have to fight to be a servant. People are more than willing to allow you to do that for them. And that is the glory of our God. Not in seeing what He can get us to do for Him, but helping us to understand how much He wants to do for us. And so on the night of Passover, He took off His outer garments, wrapped a towel around Himself, took a bowl, and took the form of a servant and washed their feet. Later, He would go to the cross, and again as a servant, He would take the punishment that we deserve. He would give the life that we were supposed to give. That He could give to us the life we didn't deserve. And the forgiveness we could never earn. That is the God we worship. Who created us to be in His image. And when He came to earth, took the form of a servant that He might redeem us from sin to be restored to that image. Let us allow our God the opportunity to be our servant, and in serving us, to plant that same heart and mind within our souls, that we might find joy each day in serving others. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.